Good morning, everybody. First of all, thank you for everybody coming out on your Saturday. I know there's firewood to be had and cleaning of the houses to be done. And if anyone wants to come over and clean my house today, it'd be greatly appreciated. We're going to go ahead and get started early here. Maybe get you out a little bit early so you can get to that work. But this is part of the training, the leadership training that is a mandatory for all helpers, coordinators, and leaders. And the reason that we do this is so that we are all on the same page as far as what we are about here at New Hope Christian Center. And for those of you who are listening on the podcast, we need you to get a copy of the Devoted to the Fellowship 2017. And when you are done listening to this, I need you to sign off on those and get those back to Brenda Graham. And the essentials part of the sign-off will be taken care of this morning as well. We'll go over the 10 essentials that we believe here at New Hope Christian Center. We believe that in the essentials, the salvation issues, there must be unity. We have to be agreeable on these issues. Now, non-essentials, we have to grant liberty to people. On certain issues, they're not salvation issues. You have to just agree to disagree. And then the last part of the motto is, and in all things there must be love. That must be the basis by which we do everything. And so this portion of the training is called the Devoted to the Fellowship. And the mission statement that we have here at New Hope Christian Center is very short, very sweet. I've looked at a lot of mission statements for churches and businesses, and there are these long paragraphs. And, you know, Jesus said in Matthew 28, verse 19, he said, go and make disciples. That's what I want you to do. I want you to go and make disciples. I want you to go and make followers of me. And so that is our mission statement, to make disciples. And the process that we do that by here at New Hope Christian Center are three words: connecting to God, connecting to others, and releasing for service. So you can know our mission statement and our process in five words: make disciples, connect, connect, release. Simple as that. And it's the same thing that Jesus passed down to his disciples. So how do we do that? How do we do that here at New Hope Christian Center? We do that according to Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And it is the four things, the four pillars that the early church devoted themselves to. The first one is they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Here at New Hope Christian Center, you're going to get the Word of God, because we believe that it is the Word of God that changes the hearts of people. God uses his own word, he anoints it, and he draws people to himself through his word. Doctrine is very important here at New Hope Christian Center. No matter who is speaking, no matter who is teaching, you are going to get the Word of God. The second thing that they were devoted to the fellowship. They were devoted to one another. They lived their lives together. They were family. And in fact, Acts, it says that they got together daily. They were spending time with one another. It wasn't just, I go to this church. I go to this church and we just show up once a week or once a month or whatever. We have people here, not here, but that do not even attend at all, yet they consider us their church. And that makes no sense to me. A church is about being connected to one another. It's about living one another's lives. It's about helping each other through difficult times, knowing that someone is there that is going to reach out and help you during those difficult times. And the church is using the gifts that God has given you to serve other people. See, God gives you your gifts so that you can serve other people. They're not for you. They're not so that you can just hoard them or put them on a shelf. He gives them to you so that you can be a blessing to other people. So you need to be devoted to the fellowship, devoted to one another. The third thing that they were devoted to was the breaking of bread. This is kind of a two-pronged thing. The first one is that they actually had communion together. What Jesus passed on to the Apostle Paul, or actually to Peter, he passed on to the early church. And the second part of that is that they got together and actually broke bread in their homes. They shared meals together. Back in those days, it was something very special to break bread with someone in your own home. You didn't invite your enemy into your home. And if someone cared for you or loved you enough to invite them into your home, that was a very special thing. I think we've kind of lost that in this culture, but it was very important to them to share bread together. And the final thing is, the fourth thing is, they were devoted to prayer. They were devoted to praying for one another. When there were issues that arose, they got together. They called out. They says, pray for us. We have that in place here, and we need to utilize that. Prayer is a very powerful thing. And sometimes we say, well, you know, at least I can pray, or all we can do is pray. You know what? That's the first thing we should be doing with one another, is praying for one another. Everything that we do here at New Hope Christian Center has at least one of those elements in it. If it does not, then we're not doing it. That's just the way we are here at New Hope. Here at New Hope, we are about discipleship, and we're about growth, personal, spiritual growth. Are people growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ? I don't give a rip about how many people are in the seats on a Sunday. That is not what we are about. And when I talk to other pastors from other churches and they find out I'm a pastor, the first question they ask is, oh, how many people do you have? How many people do you have? Because that seems to be the litmus test on whether or not you're a successful church. And what I've started saying is, how many people do you have growing in the grace and knowledge of Lord Jesus Christ? And they look at me like I'm an alien. But that's what we are about here at New Hope, is individual growth, growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that is our focus here. I am not going to read through these things like I have in the past. I'm trusting that you all can read. And so if you can't, ask the person next to you. They probably can read, so have them read it to you. But we have three different classifications of people here. Basically, we have coordinators, we have leaders, and we have helpers. And each one, we have woo girls. Each one of them has some specifications or some expectations. But the thing is I want people who want to serve. I want people who are not serving just to have a title. I want people that are willing to step out and say, you know what? I don't know what my gifting is, but I know I've been called to serve, so I'm going to start here. And if you find out that's not your calling, then step out here. There is nobody in this entire world that has been called to come on a Sunday morning, sit down, listen to a message, and then just go home. Nobody has that calling. We've all been called to serve. And so there are different stipulations, different expectations in our coordinators, our leaders, and our helpers. And you'll see that I want you to do, you know, to have a regular Sunday service attendance. I don't want people that are just filling a hole and just show up when they're there to serve, because that's not being devoted to the fellowship. That's not being devoted to one another. And I've had people say, well, you know what? I don't want to be a helper because then you tell me how many times I have to come to church. I come to church more often when you don't tell me how many I'm supposed to be there. I kind of got a problem with that. And the thing is the reason that we put these requirements in is because sometimes, as we grow, we need someone to encourage us to fulfill those requirements. And in the beginning, it becomes a have to. But my heart is that as you begin to do it, as it becomes a habit of something that you do, it's not a have to, it's a I get to. I want to. And that's the heart of a servant. A true servant serves out of their heart, not because they have to. But we need to be trained up in those things. So we set those things up. In the expectations of these things, I've wrote down that I do a probationary period, and that if you're not meeting your requirements, then I've never, ever gone to anybody and said, you're out. Never. You're volunteers, and we understand that. But we also want you to serve out of the heart that God has put in you. We want you to serve because you want to serve, not because you have to serve. We don't want you to go, well, I have to show up because Pastor Jim, I do keep records. We do keep records of your attendance in certain areas. But I'll tell you what, the people that excel, that go from helpers to leaders to coordinators, are those people that are doing it because they want to. The people that are doing it because they have to will become burned out very quickly. And they usually just kind of disappear, which is okay. When the wealthy young man came to Jesus and says, what do I need to do to get into heaven? And Jesus says, you got to do this and this and this. Keep the law, blah, 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 blah. He says, I've been doing that since I was a kid. Tell me what I really need to do. And he says, here's the one thing that you lack. Go sell everything that you have. Give it to the poor. Then come and follow me. And he's like, eh, nope. That was his deal breaker. And it says that he walked away sad. And Jesus did not run after him and say, okay, let's back up the truck a little bit here. I didn't really mean that you had to give all of your money. No, Jesus just said, okay, this is what I'm requiring. And so what I wanted is a group of people. And we have an incredible core group of people here at New Hope Christian Center. We really do. We have people that are growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have people that last year, if you look at them where they were last year spiritually and where they are this year spiritually, it's unbelievable. That's what we're about here at New Hope Christian Center. And then turning around, we're teaching you. You are being a disciple. You are being mentored by others. And what our prayer is and our hope is that you take that, those things that you've learned, and you turn around and you become the mentor to a disciple. And it continues on. That's what it's about here at New Hope Christian Center. And so that being said, I'm going into the essentials. These are the salvation issues that we believe here at New Hope Christian Center. These are the issues that have to be agreed upon. None of these are up for debate. And I'm going to go over them. And if we get to the end of this and you have a problem with one of these, please come and see me and I'll show you where you're wrong in the scriptures. No, we don't have it. You're going to have to listen to me. But you can sign off on them after I am done. Like I said before, in the essentials, in the salvation issues, there must be unity. There's no room for debate. There's no room for fudge room. There's no, well, you know, I don't know if I quite agree with that. If there are some issues that you do not agree with here, then we have some issues. Because we need to be united on these things. The first one is there is only one true God. 1 Timothy 1:17 says, now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Why is this an essential? Because in Exodus 20, verse 3, God says, you shall have no other gods before me. That is pretty black and white. There is only one true God. And if you believe that other gods of other religions are the same, they're just called the different names, then we need to talk. Because if you study the other gods of other religions, they're not describing Jehovah. So there is only one true God, and God is himself said that in his word. Number two, the triunity of God and the deity of Christ. In Genesis 1:26, God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness." Not in my image, in my likeness, but in our image, in our likeness. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Matthew 28:19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. John 15:26. When the Advocate comes, this is Jesus talking, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. Jesus is speaking about the Holy Spirit, and there are some religions out there that do not believe in the Trinity. They do not believe that the Spirit of God is an actual person. Well, Jesus himself said, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. A divine wind does not testify about who he is. This person in the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, is a person. Feelings. Paul says, you have grieved the Holy Spirit. How do you grieve wind? How do you grieve an essence of something? You don't. You grieve a person with feelings. So why is this an essential? Because if Jesus was just a man, then he would not be able to atone for our sins. And we're going to look in that a little bit later. The third thing that is not up for debate, human depravity. Human depravity. Isaiah 59:2 says, but your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. 1 Corinthians 15:22. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Why is this an essential issue? Romans 2:23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So all of us have sinned and have been separated from God because of that sin. And when we are guilty, a payment is demanded. A payment is required. So we all are required by God to make that payment. The fourth thing, Christ's humanity. Leviticus 17:11 says, for the life of a creature is in the blood, and I have given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar. It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life. So a lot of people, a lot of teachers back in the day, and some today, agnostics, proclaimed that Jesus was not a real person when he walked this earth, that he was actually just a spirit. Okay? So why is this an essential issue? Why is it essential that we know that Christ became a human being? Because in Romans 8, it says, for what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering, and so he condemned sin in the flesh. Blood had to be spilled to make atonement. It had to be spilled in the Old Testament by all of the animals to atone for the sin, and it had to be spilled by Jesus on the cross. If he were not a real person, blood has not been spilled, and we are still guilty under the law and required to make that payment. That's why. And it says when Jesus was on the cross, they shoved a spear into his side, and blood and water came out. He was not a spirit. You can't stab a spirit with a spear and have blood come out. So that is why it is an essential. Number five, the sinlessness of Christ. There is a lot of teaching out there right now. A lot of really bad teaching that says Jesus really wasn't perfect. There was a movie back in the 80s called The Temptation of Christ. And they declared that he was not without sin. So why is this such an important issue? 1 Peter 1:18-19, it says, "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." So why is this an essential issue? Why is it a big deal if I believe that Jesus sinned or didn't sin? Because if Jesus had sinned, then his sacrifice would have only been good enough to cover our sins. Just as the lambs and the goats and the bulls and the rams and the pigeons and the doves, they were sacrificed to cover over sin, but it did not remove it. So they had to continually sacrifice over and over and over again. So if Jesus was without or had sinned, he would have to offer his sacrifice over and over and over. The difference is he is the perfect sacrifice. So it only had to happen one time. That's why that is an essential issue. Because if you believe that Jesus sinned and he wasn't perfect, you are still guilty. Because all he could do was cover your sin. He did not have the capability to remove that sin and wash your sins away. All right? Number six, the resurrection of Christ. There's a lot of teaching out there. James Cameron just did a show a couple years ago. "Hey, we found the bones of Jesus. We found Jesus' bones. They're in a little box. And we found he was laying there with his wife and his kids. And he was like, I think the Christian community is just going to be thrilled because I've just proven that Jesus was actually a man and actually walked on earth." Oh, dear Lord. The resurrection of Christ, 1 Corinthians 15:14 says, "And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless and so is your faith." If Jesus is still in the ground, in a box, your faith is useless. Why is this an essential? Because 15:17 says, "And if Christ has not been received or raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins." We're still guilty. God is still going to require payment if Jesus did not rise from the dead. That's why this is an essential issue. Number seven, not all roads lead to heaven. This is something that our culture loves to champion. You know, I see those bumper stickers that say coexist. Absolutely, we should coexist. And as Christians, we should be the champions of loving other people. We should be the ones showing love to each and every one of those sticker or the emblems or symbols on that bumper sticker. Absolutely. But all of these roads do not lead to heaven. And this is a dangerous teaching. In John 14:6, Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." That's pretty exclusive. And I've had a lot of people say, "Well, you're pretty arrogant. You're pretty narrow-minded." Well, you know what? My Lord was very narrow-minded. He was very exclusive. He says, "I am the only way." And by all of the things that he did and the suffering and his death on the cross and his resurrection, I'm going with what he said. I'm going to go with what he said. Why is this an essential? Because according to the scriptures, there is no other way. So does that mean that you just treat everybody else like garbage? No. We are called to love. And you know what? God loves those people just as much as he loves you. Just as much as he loves you. So that's when our love, the love of Christ, We need to remember the price that he paid for us and never look down our noses on anybody else because they disagree with us. Ever. You show them the love. When Jesus encountered sinners, he loved them. He had a relationship. He started a conversation with them. His first act was not coming at them with his finger pointed. His first act was to love them. And we need to, as his followers, do the very same thing. Number 8, salvation by grace through faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. It says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Why is this an essential? You cannot earn your salvation. You cannot make that payment without Jesus Christ declaring your righteousness. Because that payment is your life, your blood. That is the requirement. You can't earn it. You can't work it off. You can't, there's nothing you can do to be good enough. A lot of times when I talk with people who are not Christians, so the first thing they say is, "Well, I believe in God. I believe in God and I'm a good person." The scripture says no one's good. Because that bar is set as high as it can be. And no one can attain that without the help and the acceptance of Jesus Christ. Period. You can't, you're not good enough. You can't be good enough. You can't, there's nothing you can do. Number 9 is eternal judgment. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, "Just as people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment." Now, some of you are like, you know, because there's a lot of religions out there that teach there's a holding pattern. Purgatory, a place that you can work off your sins. The ancient Catholic Church actually sold, they weren't alms, they were something. But when they wanted to build a new church or a cathedral or a baptismal, they would go around to the rich people in the country, and they would ask for donations. And they said, "If you give money, we will write you a certificate, and it will nullify and void all of the work that you have to do in purgatory to get out of purgatory and into heaven. With this piece of paper, when you get there, you automatically don't have to do it." And a lot of people gave a lot of money. And we have beautiful cathedrals today because people were duped into giving a lot of money. Why is this an essential? Because there are no second chances. There is no holding tank where you can work off your sins. It says that you are appointed once to die and then judgment. Period. Period. And one of the reasons that I inserted that one is because we had a young lady who was teaching our kids in Teen Kids, before it was Teen Kids, that she didn't believe that her God could send people to hell. And that there is a place that you can go and work off your bad deeds. Teaching that to our kids. And why is that so dangerous? Because then people get the mentality of, "I'll just work it off. I'm going to live my life however I want now. There's always time in eternity. I can work it off. It's not going to be that big a deal." And the reality is, no. The Bible says, the Word of God says, you're appointed once to die and then judgment. That's why it is an essential issue. Number 10, the infallibility of the Scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 3:16 says, "All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness." Matthew 22:31 says, "But about the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what God said to you?" See, even the writers of the Scripture says, you know what? This is not me. This is from God. Why is this an essential? 1 Timothy 4:16 says, "Watch your life and doctrine closely." This is Paul speaking to Timothy, who is the next in of the generation coming up. He is going to be taking over for what Paul is doing, and he is telling Timothy, young Timothy, watch your life and your doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if you cannot correctly handle the word of God and you don't know what the word of God says, you are going to be duped by whatever kind of teaching comes along. Whatever fad that is popular at the time. Here at New Hope, I want you to be like the Bereans. When Paul showed up, they got out their scriptures and they listened to Paul and they said, whatever you say, if you are sent by God, it will go along with the scriptures that we have. And they didn't even have what we have. There's no excuse for Christians today to not know the word of God. None whatsoever. Because we have so much more than what they had in the early church. There's no excuse. We are to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And we are to use it. Because you're in a battle. You're in a battle for the young lives. You are going to have people in youth come in who are coming from a horrible, horrible situation at home. We are going to have people coming into this church and have people coming into this church who have addictions, who are abused. And we need to be able to fight on their behalf against the enemy that wants to kill, steal, and destroy. But if you don't know the word of God, you are going up against an enemy who is way more equipped than you are. We need to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? For our benefit and for the benefit of those people that we touch on a daily basis. If you're a parent here, it is your job to make sure that you train your children up in the way of the Lord. Don't send them to Teen Kids to do it. Don't send them to a public school to do it. Because Lord knows you ain't going to get it there. It's your job. Don't say, oh, well, that's my wife's job. I'm busy. Or that's my husband's job. Or I'm a single mom. I don't have time to do that. No, it's one of the most important things, if not the most important thing you'll ever be called to do by God. And we are going to have kids in here that don't know the word of God, never heard the word of God. It is up to us to take up that mantle and teach it to them. That's why every ministry that we have is so very important. Because every age group that we have is so very important. So that is it for me. You can sign off on all your stuff now. You're all good to go. I know that you all have hearts that are just saying, Lord, use me wherever. But you know what? If we do this thing together, encouraging one another, you're going to go through seasons where you're going to be extremely beat down or busy or circumstances or whatever. And I would ask as a coordinator or a leader or a helper that you would come and allow us to help you heal. Let's do this thing together because we're all going to go through those times. That's just the way it is. Jesus, God never said in his word, your life, once you accept me, will be a piece of cake. It's going to be easy. It's going to be all rainbows and unicorns after this. No. But he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And if you get connected with other people who love the Lord, we'll all get through this together. Amen. Thank you.